importer and not obviously livestock producers.
Thank you, Rachel. This is Tom. I'm going to let Michael Formica, Chief Environmental Counsel with the National Pork Producers Council, answer that question.
We filed this on behalf of the nation's livestock producers. We have the authority, livestock and poultry producers, we have the authority under the Administrative Procedures Act to petition the government to use their power. EPA clearly has the power to make a waiver under the RFS, and we are asking them to utilize that.
Our next question comes from the line of Tiffany Stecker with ClimateWire.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Given that the possibility of these droughts becoming more and more frequent over the years, it seems like there's a lot of scientific evidence pointing to that. What are you looking at a kind of a longer-term plan for that and possibly calling for just a general overhaul of the RFS over a long term?
Thanks for the question. I'll ask Dr. Elam, who's on the line, help in answering that question. Tom Elam, are you on the line with us?
I'm here. Hello.
Yes. Dr. Elam, could you please restate the question for Dr. Elam?
Okay, can you guys hear me? I have the question in mind.
Okay, yes, go ahead, Dr. Elam. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. The purpose of this petition is short-term relief. I don't want to venture what the livestock industry might or might not do past this petition.
Next question, Kira.
Our next question comes from the line of Megan Gordon with CLAP.
Yeah, hi. First off, how can we get a copy of the petition? And then also, given EPA's standard for the waiver, which, you know, sets a pretty high bar and says that it requires severe economic harm to a state or a region, what specifically are you going to be claiming is that economic harm?
Thank you. As for the location, it will be emailed to you along with our press release, and it can also be found on www.nppc.org, as in National Pork Producers Council.org, nppc.org. For the second part of your question, I'm going to turn again to Michael Formica.
Real easily, the severe economic harm being felt right now is the drought. We are currently in the worst drought in at least 50 years, and we're looking at the devastating impacts on grain supply.
Yeah, this JD, I might add to that, if I may. Is that all right? JD?
Go ahead, JD.
Yeah. I would state that, you know, I'm actually doing things in our operation that I've never done before. I'm a third-generation cattleman, been in the business actively and engaged for over 40 years. And because of the drought and the situation in my region, we're actually having to cut silage because the corn really is not making an ear and not getting kernels. So we're actually doing something that we've never done in my lifetime before, is taking the crop at an early stage into a roughage, and that is strictly putting it to silage. We're also having trouble buying corn to feed our livestock. The prices are at record highs that I've never had to pay before, and it's very difficult to get it. So in the long run, it's really putting a burden on our operation and many other producers across the nation.
Thank you, JD. Next question.
Our next question comes from the line of Zach Warmbrot with Argus Media.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. A couple weeks ago, an EPA director told Congress she downplayed the chance of issuing a waiver, citing increased planting this year. And also, ethanol plants are already starting to shut down because of the high prices. I mean, how do you argue that the market isn't already taking care of this issue? And how are you going to convince EPA to to grant this waiver, even though they're indicating they might not want to.
Dr. Elam, could you add to that question?
There is in the current obligations to blend ethanol with gasoline, and we believe that the EPA should relax the RFS for the remainder of this year and into 2013 as a safeguard against the possibility that this crop could be so short that it could cause a even more devastating loss than the one that we envision today. We believe that waiver should be granted immediately in order to forestall further economic harm to the livestock and poultry industries of this country and the rest of the world.
Do any of our producers on the line want to follow up on Dr. Elam's answer?
Yeah, this is John Burkle. I would just like to say that understanding that there is ethanol plant shutting down, and in that context, I would just want to say that remember that, you know, in 2008 when the waiver was not granted, we saw major cutbacks in production, and we've seen as prices of meat have escalated in the last 5 years, we're seeing a dramatic downshift in the amount of consumption of meat also. So what's happening is our infrastructure is at risk. And realizing that the ethanol industry wants to protect their infrastructure, and I don't blame them for that, but I don't have a mandate that says when you leave the grocery store, you throw a whole bird in your cart, period. I have to compete for corn on a whole different level than they do. So we're not talking apples and we're talking apples and oranges here, and I think that needs to be understood. Put in context, the mandate allows the ethanol industry a different position than the livestock industry has. So my infrastructure is at risk, but understanding that theirs is also, you just have to put it in the context of what the mandate does for the ethanol industry. And that's just what I want you to understand going in.
Thank you, John. Next question.
Our next question comes from the line of Sean Lyle with KMJ Radio Fresno.
Yeah, hello. My question is for John Burkle. Of course, the consumer, we always throw things at them that they can wrap their minds around, things like the cost of Thanksgiving dinner, which we always report annually. John, what do you see this as doing to that Thanksgiving dinner so that the consumer can really understand what this does to your industry?
Well, I would say this. What you've seen in the past, you know, typically, especially Thanksgiving, is the idea that you're going to see features on turkey ridiculously underneath the cost of production. As a market, you know, to get people into the store, the lost leader concept. But slowly but surely, I think we're going to see that disappear because, you know, the retailers can't possibly continue doing that at these price levels. So our demand base is dropping. We're losing that. I can see. You know, this year I could see a situation where, you know, we'll have turkey this year, and it's not like there won't be turkey in the stores. But as we move forward, especially moving into next year, given the production cuts that would have to happen to allow us to pay $8, $9 for corn, over time you're going to see that shift, and you're going to see eventually a drop in production across all the meats and prices that just put the consumer in a position where they can't afford to buy meat anymore. Or very little of it. And that's what we're seeing the last 5 years, and you can practically trace it back on a chart back to the RFS in 07. So I would just say, in the long run, we're going to see the consumer purchasing less meat, and, you know, maybe we're in a position with the whole bird turkey industry that at Thanksgiving they'll splurge, but I would say they're not going to put the extra bird in the freezer.
Can I add something to that real quick? The wholesale price of turkey since the 2007 RFS is up over 50%. Period.
Period.
Thank you, Dr. Elam. Next question, Kira.
Our next question comes from the line of Amanda Teterka with Greenwire.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. This question concerns the study touted last week by the ethanol industry on how such a waiver wouldn't really have a big effect on corn prices. So I was just wondering what sort of effect you're expecting in the sort of immediate term on corn prices.
Sure. Dr. Elam has looked at that study, and I'm going to let him answer that question, Amanda.
Thank you for that question, Amanda. First of all, the study did forecast about a 5% impact, and that's about $1 billion of cost to the industry that is filing the waiver. It's still, even though it's a small percentage, it's still a significant impact. The second thing I would note that was Dr. Babcock was basing his forecast of that small impact on 138 bushel corn yield. We believe that the yield will be significantly below 138, perhaps in the 120 to 125 bushel range when the final crop production reports come in, and that the impact will be more than proportionately larger than the reduction in yield. We simply think that his yield forecast was too high and his impact was significantly below what is possible. And we'll find out a partial answer to that on August 10th when USDA releases their first crop report that's based on actual field observations, not just guessing what the yield might be.
Thank you, Dr. Elam. Do any of our producers on the line wish to follow up on Dr. Elam's remarks?
This is J.D. Alexander, and I might just say that, we're more than willing to compete, but on a level playing field. You know, the ethanol industry is a mature market now, and, they've been held up with a three-legged stool for many years and got off the ground and have a great product and a great industry. But at some point, as we call it in the cattle business, you need to wean it. And it's time to wean the ethanol industry and just let it stand on its own and compete in a marketplace like we are all doing on a level playing field.
Thank you, J.D. Next question.
Next question comes from the line of Art Hovey with Lincoln, Nebraska Journal.
Yes, good morning. I would like to direct this question to J.D. Alexander. I'm looking at some numbers from Cattle Facts this morning that indicate a $159 increase in the cost of feed to finish a steer, a price reduction of $168 per head for 550-pound calves, $151 reduction for 750-pound yearlings, 107 per head reduction for finished cattle, and 147 per head reduction for utility cows. Are those numbers accurate, Mr. Alexander, for what you see happening in Nebraska, and what are we going to do about that?
I just recently saw those same numbers, and I would say yes, they're relatively accurate. The one thing I would say is you can put any price out there, and it does not guarantee profitability. The simple answer is that increased corn costs increase your cost of production to get beef to the consumer's table. And it's going to be a challenge with record prices of corn for us to basically find the cattle to feed and feed them efficiently to where we can put a decent beef on the plate. But to answer your question, I would say those are very close, but they'll also be changing. We don't know where the price of corn will end up, but the higher the price of corn equates to the higher cost of gain and eventually the higher price of beef on the consumer's table.
Have you cut back at all on your personal feeding to this point in time?
I have directly. My feedlot now, which I'm a finishing feedlot, we are approximately about 60% of capacity simply for a variety of reasons. We just can't make the numbers work. I'm having trouble finding corn. My neighbors have either sold out, or if they have some left, they're not sure they're going to be able to fulfill contracts with the corn that they're producing this year. So as a direct result, we've cut back and are being very conservative.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question, Kira.
Our next question comes to the line of Gary DiGiuseppe with Arkansas Radio.
Thanks. I apologize if this has been covered, but does the 2007 energy bill specifically lay out the circumstances under which EPA can grant a waiver to the RFS? And if that's the case, would that then present you with a legal way of pursuing this further if the request is rejected?
The law This is Michael from ACLE, the National Pork Producers Council. The law allows EPA to grant a waiver or to waive the RFS on its own for severe economic harm. They never developed rules implementing that that requirement, and so other than the rejection of Governor Perry's petition under very different circumstances, there is no process. Next question, Kira.
Our next question comes from the line of Matt Kay with the Burns Bureau.
Yeah, thank you and good morning. This is a question for either J.D. or Randy. Have either of you had a chance to look at the draft language of the Farm Bill extension, specifically the disaster drought provisions for livestock? Are they adequate? And what are your thoughts about a one-year extension of this bill?
Well, this is J.D. I might say that I guess I have not looked specifically at that. Part of the reason is we do not really know. It's kind of been back and forth. The Farm Bill is one many you think it's moving forward. The next many you think it is not. So until we get a little more validity or solid indication of what's going to happen, I guess I really couldn't report on that. So I think it'd be a little bit of speculation on my part.
Yeah, thanks, J.D. This is Tom from the National Chicken Council for those remarks, and we'll just stick to the reason we're here today, and that is asking for our waiver from EPA. Kira, next question.
Next question comes from the line of Mario Parker with Bloomberg News.
Hi, yes. If I'm understanding this correctly, would the waiver be granted until next year's harvest in 2013? And then my second question is, any lessons learned from the 08 experience when Governor Perry submitted a request and it was ultimately rejected?
The waiver, this is Michael Formica again with the National Pork Producers Council. Under the RFS, EPA has the authority to grant a waiver up to 1 year in length. And that is what we're requesting, for them to decide what the appropriate length is up to a year and to grant a waiver.
Okay.
As to your second question, as I already stated, we are under very different economic circumstances here. We are in the midst of the worst drought in at least 50 years, and looking at the potential for the worst corn crop, if private consultants last week could are to be trusted, the worst corn crop since the 1993 floods.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question, Kira.
Our next question comes from the line of Julie Buncher with Daily Globe newspaper.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I have a question specifically for Randy. We've heard a little bit this morning already about how the drought is impacting our poultry producers and our cattle producers. Could you speak specifically on our pork producers and what is happening in that industry with the high price of corn?
I think you've seen some public announcement of producers that are sourcing corn from outside the country, and so I think those decisions from producers as to where they are sourcing their corn and how they are sourcing their corn are forefront of their minds. I think a prior question asked about lessons learned. I think the from the 2008-2009 when this occurred, I think that lesson is fresh in a lot of producers' minds, and I think that's why you're seeing this request that we'd like a waiver to be able to help us with those decisions on the corn.
Thank you. Next question, Kira.
Our next question comes from the line of Frederick Kaufman with Harper's.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my question, guys. This is the third drastic price surge in global grain we've seen, right, in the past 5 years, 2008, 2010, 2011. In the first two cases, we've seen recent research showing that a significant percentage of the price rise is not only due to real reasons on the ground, like you guys are experiencing with drought, but certain new money based on Wall Street speculation in this area. I was wondering if you could address to what extent do you believe the percentage of the increase in the price of grain is actually being impacted by Wall Street speculation at this moment. And the second question I have, second one, is, do you guys foresee any other solution to this problem other than the waiver you are requesting regarding biofuel mandates? In other words, are you guys considering also perhaps a return to a national strategic grain reserve? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
This is Michael from Inc. again with the National Pork Producers Council. I'm going to handle the second part of the question, and the answer, just very concisely, is there is no other option at this point that can be taken to grant the immediate relief that is necessary to get us out of this situation other than waiving the RFS mandate. For the first part of the question, I'm going to turn that back over to Tom Elam.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that question. That is a really good question, too, and I think it's a chicken and egg question. We saw that speculation money come into this market after the RFS, expanded RFS, became the law in 2007, and I firmly believe that speculative money was brought into the market by the RFS, not the other way around, that with the huge demand guarantee that we have for ethanol in this country, that sets the stage for higher and more volatile prices, and that's exactly the sort of market that these speculators feed on. So I think you need to look back at the RFS, look at the timing of the entry of that speculator money, and you will see a direct connection there. Thank you.
You know, I might add this, J.D., is never worried much about trying to put the blame of why an increased commodity goes up or down. We are in very volatile times. There's a variety of reasons. You know, the bottom line is it's a pretty simple relative equation. The higher priced corn, the higher priced cost of production, and the higher priced eventual products is going to be to the consumer. So I've never worried much about why a commodity is high or low or whatever. You deal with what the commodity price is and do your business accordingly.
Next question comes from the line of Mike Hergert with Red River Farm Network.
Thanks very much for hosting this. My question about 2008, obviously EPA did not act on that waiver. Here we have another year ending in an even number, an election year. What makes you think your chances are any better?
Do any of our producers on the line wish to answer that question?
Randy Sprunk with the National Pork Producers Council. I think the presiding factor that's different here is exactly the crop condition ratings that we have here today. And I think as we look forward here, we've got a dire situation on the availability of corn to a lot of producers and a lot of species. And so that's why we're trying to act early here and be very aware of the differences that we have on availability.
Yeah, this is J.D. I would echo that. As I mentioned earlier, you know, I've never experienced anything like this before. And, you know, in my time of being a producer in the third generation, I've got my son is involved as the fifth. And down the road, we've got other people involved. But, you know, we're dealing with something, in, you know, that we haven't seen for the past 50 years. And I think we need to react accordingly and responsibly, and this is what I feel that we're doing.
This is Mike Welch. I think from the chicken perspective, the fact that it wasn't granted in 2008 is supporting evidence that it should be now, based on there would be more of our members still in business had this been reacted to properly in 2008. And as was said by the others, this situation is even more severe this time, and we can only imagine the outcome from this episode left unmanaged.
And this is John Burkle. I just say that I go back to my talking point, as far, you know, if not now, when. I think, Mike, we've talked about this before up here, and we've always said, you know, at some point we're going to see this happen. And the question is, are you prepared? Is there some kind of plan B in case? And there's never been a plan B. There's never been a thought of how this would progress. And I think the whole waiver process, if not enacted now, has to be put into question. The whole process itself, the whole fact that, you know, if we're not going to do this now in the middle of a historic drought, when will we do this?
This is Tom Elam. I'd just like to point out that I'm in my car driving by an Indiana cornfield that probably is going to produce 50 bushels an acre, if anything. 2008, that same cornfield looked healthy at this time of year, and that crop did recover. This crop's dead. It's not going to recover.
Thank you. Next question, Kira.
Our next question comes from the line of Rachel Gantz with Oil Price Information.
Yes, hi. I'm just trying to clarify. I actually looked up the Clean Air Act 211-07 language, and the only people that are allowed to file a waiver request are governors, an obligated party, or an EPA administrator. So I'm just trying to figure out who exactly has filed this waiver request.
The National Livestock Group has filed it. This is Michael Formica with the National Pork Producers Council again. As I stated earlier, under the Administrative Procedures Act, Section 553E, 5 U.S. Code 553E, each agency shall give an interested person the right to petition for the issuance, amendment, or repeal of a rule. That read in conjunction with the language granting Lisa Jackson, Administrator of EPA, to waive the rule is what we are relying on to for our petition. We are petitioning her to use her authority to waive the rule.
All right. Thank you.
We have a question from the line of Zach Warmbrot with Argus Media.
Hi, thanks. In light of that issue with this might not being allowed under the RFS, are you trying to get support from a governor or someone who's able to formally ask for a waiver?
This is Michael Formica at the NPPC again. Right now we are focused on our waiver petition, but in the same time we are talking to everybody who will help. Today we're looking at our waiver. Tomorrow, this afternoon, we are looking at every other option. We have a severe economic disaster going on, and we want action now.
Next question, Kira.
Our next question comes from line of Marlon Bowling with KRBN Radio.
Thank you for having this conference, guys. Appreciate that. I was just curious, have any of you ever talked directly with the administrator, Lisa Jackson, yet? She never did respond to requests for responses to the cattle flyovers a while back. I just wondered if you have ever talked with her about this or expect her to.
Any of our producers want to chime in on that?
Well, I would say this, J.D., we were more than willing to visit if we were able to. A lot of times your request falls on vacant ears, and we're more than happy to visit any time that they'd be willing to. But we personally have not, to my knowledge.
This is Tom from the Chicken Council. I'll just say that the filing of this petition hopefully starts a dialogue, and subsequent meetings will take place. Next question, Kira.
Next question comes from the line of Ellen Ferguson with Congressional Quarter.
Hi. So have you actually filed your request, and what kind of time frame are you looking at for some sort of response?
This is Michael Formica with NPPC again. We actually filed the request at the start of this press call, and we are asking the Administrator of EPA to take expedited action on this. And
what does that mean? Is that like 30 days, 90 days?
That's to be decided.
As soon as possible.
We have an August 10th crop report that's coming out next week. We had a number of private analysts release their reports last week. We think the harm is clear, and we want them to take action ASAP. Next question, please.
There are no more questions in queue.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone, for joining the call. Again, the actual waiver and the press release should have been emailed to you. If not, you can find it on www.nppc.org. That's nppc.org. Thank you all very much.